You're listening to Mostly Technical, which is brought to you by Lair Jobs, the official Laravel job board, and screencasting.com, where you can learn how to create high-quality screencasts faster than ever. Now, Ian and Aaron.
Hello!
Hello, Mr. Landsman. How are we doing?
We're back. Oh my gosh. Been a rough month. Crazy. All kinds of stuff going on. Finishing it here with a cold that has wrecked my whole house, so I haven't slept in a week. You might hear some coughing.
Slept in a week?
Yeah, basically.
We got to get you a chili pad, man.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. This was a congestion-y sort of situation, so I don't know if the chili pad's that
chili
good.
Chili pad fixes
that.
All, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite a recommendation then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're back. We'll hold it together as long as I can here. I do want to start out just by once again thanking Jeffrey Way of Laracast. Let me just bring that up on the screen. Thanks so much to Laracast for sponsoring the show. If you haven't checked out Laracast, definitely do that. The best resource out there for Laravel and really just web development in general. Obviously, all the courses they have there. New Laravel 11 course. Obviously, we're both lifetime members. Wholeheartedly recommend it. So definitely check out Laracast. Thanks so much to Jeffrey for continuing to sponsor the show. And definitely check it out if you haven't yet, because it is the best resource out there. So thank you to Jeffrey. All right, so it's been a couple weeks here. We got a lot of stuff to cover.
We got a lot to cover.
What'd you think about the eclipse? You were right in the path, right?
Was right in the path. So we were also, maybe like a year ago, we were on the partial path. So a year ago, I saw a almost total eclipse. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's what I got this time. Yeah. It's like 94% or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
I'll tell you what, the total eclipse, completely different.
That's what I figured.
Just amazing. Totally worth it. I mean, I was already here, so I don't know, you know, people did travel, but I think the next one that happens in the US, I will definitely travel and take the kids to, if they're still kids, if they're grown adults, you know, hopefully they'll join me.
So,
yeah, 20 years. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they'll take me in my wheelchair there. But yeah, it was crazy. It was so awesome. We just walked right outside our front door, sat in our neighbor's yard, and, you know, laid in the grass and watched it happen. It was amazing. Totally worth it.
We thought about going, traveling a couple hours to get in the total eclipse, and we didn't do it, and we were all sick, and so whatever, it ended up being just wouldn't have worked. But yeah, it was like a little like the looking at the sun is cool. It's like this little sliver, but it's like, oh, you look around you and it's still like amazingly still daylight out. Like, it's not like, oh, it's dark in the middle of the day. It's like, yeah, maybe some clouds went overhead. It's like incredible how powerful 6% of the sun is. It's still plenty of sunlight. Yeah. So yeah.
So it was super cool. My we checked hotel prices in Dallas just for giggles, and there's one hotel that's like $500 a night, but the night of the eclipse, it was $5,000.
Wow.
A night. Yeah.
It did seem like people were traveling, but that's kind of, I mean, since you can go anywhere on the path, it's like kind of crazy to have so much demand just in Dallas like that.
But, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Super fun.
Did the kids get it?
Totally worth it. Fundamentally different. No, they were in school.
Oh, all right. So just
and
you
I
and
asked
the
him, I asked him when I dropped him. I think I dropped him off that day. I asked the teacher, I was like, are the kids going to go outside? And they're like, no, we don't have glasses. And I said, good. I don't want my 2-year-olds looking up at the sun.
They're
like,
little,
I just don't want them to learn that you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, they're a little small for understanding the distinction.
Yeah.
Or just mess up, pull their glasses down quick and just to look at it. And
look directly into the sun. Yeah, that doesn't seem good.
Got enough going on. You don't need another. Another thing with a
no, I don't need
blinded
temporarily
child
blind
or something.
Children. Yeah,
yeah, let's pass on that.
Yeah.
Oh man, all right. What else has been going on? You have so much stuff. You've had 1,000 tweets. You've been on a million podcasts. All kinds of stuff. I don't know if there's any stuff you want to talk about.
1,000 tweets and a million podcasts.
Yeah,
that's
so much going
that's
on.
Just no, that's not right. I was on a few podcasts.
Yeah, you were everywhere.
And I guess I have been tweeting more, huh? Am I tweeting more? I think I might be.
I feel like it. I feel like they're catching on. Like everything you tweet is really like hitting.
Man, I do feel like they're catching more.
You're
I don't know
in
what
the
it
zone.
Is.
You're in the zone
I know.
Right now. Or the algorithm is like pushing you hard to like, oh, that Aaron Francis, whatever he says, let's just like push it. There's something going on.
There's something going on. The universe is conspiring. So I'm not gonna, you know, question it. I was on a couple podcasts. You take a break here and the energy's got to go somewhere. Yep. You know, the energy must get out. That podcasting's got to get into the universe. I did one with Ben Ornstein on his, Hackers Incorporated. He's out at Tuple.
Crazy. On to the next adventure.
Yeah. I know. Just he is living the dream.
Owning.
I know. It's crazy. How do I do that? And then I did a few others about like YouTube, and I went on the Lemon Squeezy one to talk about how side projects are a good insurance for getting laid off. Doing the tour, put a couple tweets out. We're a media empire, man.
Gotta keep it rolling. Yeah, that's true. You gotta stay top of mind.
And I put out a video that you were featured in.
So awesome.
We got the Ian Landsman on YouTube now.
I was like in a huge part of it. I was like, man, this is you like, were. I was feeling kind of down. I was sick. I was like, man, this is like cheered me right up. It was very, very nice of you to include me. And I think worked really well. And then also since it was for Cloudflare, I was like, kind of had this whole inside joke angle for the people in the know.
People inside Cloudflare know your name, Ian. How does that make you feel? Is that awesome?
Feel very good. That is awesome.
I figured. Yeah.
So cool.
So yeah, that was my triumphant return to independent YouTube was I made a Cloudflare video, which was a lot of fun. You know, first one in the studio. Still a few things. A few kinks I'm working out, but yeah. It's good to be back. And I think we're, Steve and I are gearing up obviously for a ton more video and the personal YouTube is a part of that strategy. It's not really personal anymore. It's like Steve and I are both working on it, but still
that's just one of your distribution channels that you offer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. I think that makes sense. How's initial sales and leads and all that stuff going? Man, what's the update there on the business?
It's going great.
Ooh.
I think we're gonna make it. Knock on wood. I think this is knock on MDF, maybe MDF with a wood veneer. But we might, I don't know if it'll happen in the first 12 months. We might end up making a lot more than we made as W2 employees.
Employed, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got up here with it. You got up here. That's the thing. When you can charge those, you get into the five figures and high five figures and things like that. I mean, that's a lot of months of working, like even splitting it two ways. It's like,
sure is.
That's a lot of salary there. So, I mean, obviously you have to make it continue to happen is where the rubber meets the road a little bit. But
that's how they get you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they get you. That's when having a normal job is appealing again. You're like, oh yeah, this money just comes in every week. And that's kind of nice. But yeah, if you can keep it rolling, obviously getting off to a solid start is the first step in keeping it rolling. Because if you get off to a bad
getting
start,
it rolling, then it turns out it's a not big rolling part at all. Of keeping it rolling.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So that's great. So I don't know. I know you don't probably want to say too much, but like, are you still going ahead on like you have courses, you have contracted, you're kind of moving ahead on both fronts?
Moving ahead on both fronts. Right now for like our, for the in-house side of the business, we are working on a screencasting.com relaunch and beefing it up. So Steve is working on a Premiere course right now. So it's like Premiere for screencasting. So, only the 20% of Premiere that you actually need to know to get started, that sort of thing.
Right.
So he's working on that. I'm working on beefing up the main or like flagship course and changing the site up. Just like touching the site up a little bit to include additional courses, that sort of thing. So that's what we're working on in-house right now. And we're going to hopefully launch that in about 2 weeks. So May 1st is when we're like pushing that out the door. Hopefully we'll get another big influx of cash off of, the new course and the Premiere course. And then we have, client projects lined up. But it's really like, I get why software development agencies are like, I just want to build a product. I just want to build my own SaaS product. Cause I feel like we already feel that. Like we're doing client work and thinking, how can, like, what can we own in the future,
right,
to you know, think bigger,
have some, and so, baseline, and
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think we've got, honestly, I think we've got like the next 6 months probably pretty booked, wow, in terms of like what we're on the hook for. It's crazy. Yeah. And some of it, I can't talk about it all right now, but some of it is like in-house courses that are also, we're working together with companies on,
kind of like sponsored.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll do the course and sell it, but they're going to be a part of it, as a sponsor.
That makes a lot of sense. And you can, be showcasing their platform, but still it's useful just in general, exactly, for those kind of, just the baseline knowledge. Doesn't matter which platform you're on necessarily, yep, but the one in the video is, valuable to the company who's featuring, yep, you. So
exactly.
I like that. That's an interesting path.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works out. I think it could be a really nice model because you get some cash up front. Because courses, yeah, notoriously, you don't get cash except for the day you launch and maybe like half of the day after, and then it's over. But getting a payment up front from a company like that moves the needle quite a bit, yeah, when, we're talking about the size of these payments. And then we can work on the course for a long time and then get that secondary cash infusion when we launch. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. I'm excited about it. I'm not working on high performance Laravel right now, although we got a lot of feedback that was like, that's the course you should do.
Yeah.
And so I received that feedback and I believe it. It's just going to take a lot more work to do high performance Laravel than it would, yeah, like Eloquent Mastery or something.
Right. And you have a lot of other stuff. I mean, it seems like you have a lot of hot leads. So I think there's, yes, also a little bit of risk there, like putting those aside or telling somebody it's going to be 6 months is not as, yep, appealing as telling them it's going to be 1 month or 2 months or whatever. So you do have to balance that a little bit, probably on the consulting end or this, even the sponsored content end. It's like,
mm-hmm,
if you have these things coming in now, you kind of want to strike while the iron's hot there, I think, as much, yep, as you can. I really like the idea of relaunching the screencasting course. I think that is really smart. I think, you launched it, but it was like, I think like you've talked about before, it's like, there is kind of just always that cloud a little bit of like, are you going to be all day, every day pushing this thing when you're supposed, right, to be doing other stuff,
or planet scale else, at that, yeah, time
and everything. And it's like, so now you can like kind of give it the big push. And obviously you also have just, I think, new people in the audience since then and everything like, yep, that. So, and to me, that's still, yeah, always like the foundational element for you guys.
I think it could be the baseline that, yeah, like we could then take some bigger risks off of.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so much easier to flesh that out. I mean, like we talked about before, but like get that SEO going on that. Like there's just a, yes, huge market out there. If you can get the SEO going, but people, whatever, however many Twitter followers you have, like there's still, 10,000 times more people out there searching for screencasting, yes, than are ever going to follow you. So yeah, getting that kind of stuff going will be a huge help to that. And then, yeah, like this Premiere course, like whatever, adding little bits to it where you can relaunch it every couple months.
Yeah.
Kind of fresh with some new stuff. And just, yeah, keep that going.
Yep. And we're gonna start like doing a lot of these gear guides and reviews and, yeah, put together like, all right, you want to do a bundle and you're on, super budget. Here's exactly what you can buy. Here's camera, light. And if you want to do a bundle and you're on like an extreme budget, here's the better camera and here's four lights and all of this stuff. Right. And so hopefully we can get a lot of inbound SEO from people looking for gear and that sort of stuff. Yep. But also,
if you do videos with those too, like those, yeah, on YouTube as like lead gen videos.
Exactly.
Like that, having the link.
I'm in a real like everything goes everywhere kind of phase right now. So it's like,
that's the play with these things, right? Like
that's the play. I think I've realized that I'm the top of the funnel here and I'm the person bringing most of this, which is the plan, bringing most of this attention in. And so like, articles, tweets, podcasts, videos, it's all got to be used in multiple places.
Yeah.
And so like when I, when I do a podcast or guest podcast, then I got to transcribe it and pull out any ideas that could be turned into tweets or articles and turn those into articles and then turn the articles into videos. It's just like the whole thing's just got to keep going.
And that's a lot of work right there too. You have to have time for all that. And There's even like SEO stuff around that. Like one of the big SEO things is like time on page and stuff like that. So like when you make the YouTube video of the article about the premier, or, you know, the best camera setup or whatever, like you want to have that YouTube video embedded in there so that like people watch it and they're longer on the page. So like, yeah. So having all that stuff and then getting it organized correctly and getting it published correctly and all that, that is the big project.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. That's what I worked on this weekend for my personal site, was getting it all like getting it all sucked in and organized, and in terms of podcasts, getting those transcribed, all of that stuff, so that people, one, people can find it more easily, but two, Google has some stuff to chew on and hopefully will bring them to my site. So it's fun. I like setting up, you know, systems to do things for me. And part of the place that I've struggled historically is not having a system. And so feeling like then, oh, I'm not going to do the thing, but it would take too long to set up the system. And so I'm just going to sit here and worry about it. So instead of doing that, I spent the weekend building out a pretty good system that I'm happy with.
Nice. Now you just have to do it for all the other sites and then you'll be set.
Yeah, exactly. I know. There's so much to do.
never ends.
No. I do feel not having a job really opens up how much time you have.
Yeah. Yeah. Big difference if you're trying
big old difference.
9:30 at night or 11:30 at night or 2 in the morning or whatever versus, I can just do this at 2 p.m. and still pretty awake and fresh.
I will say if you need money, jobs are... That's actually pretty good. I'm still working. I'm still trying to figure that side of the thing out. But having the free time is awesome. I love it so much.
Yeah. Definitely lets you move faster for sure. That you've been able to work that part out enough to have a little breathing room to get going on it. All right. What else is going on?
All right. Let's see. You got to tell me about... I need you to talk to me about this healthcare stuff. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I had a great tweet and I knew it. I knew it from the time it came out of my fingers. I knew this is going to work.
Yeah.
So I got my, you know, I got my COBRA renewal notice, which if you're not in the United States, that's awesome. Congratulations. In the United States, COBRA is like a legal term for like continuing healthcare coverage.
Yeah, when you leave a job, you can keep your healthcare coverage for a certain
amount of time. For 18 months, but you pay through the nose for it. So I got my renewal, and it was like, great, you can keep your healthcare. It's like, oh, whew, that's amazing. Thank you so much. What a kind and generous government. And you'll have to pay $3,700 a month. Wow. I was like, ooh.
that's a hefty one.
That's a lot of money. So I put it on Twitter, got 1.5 million impressions.
Wow.
Which is the best one I've ever had. And it was something so stupid. But I think it touched a nerve with, you know, a certain political demographic. And they took that as a way to advance their message. And I'm like, that's great. Just as long as you retweet me.
Subtext a little there, but yeah.
Yeah. And then you're telling me that because Steve and I have a two-person LLC, I can sign up for JustWorks. And they're like a, what is it, a PEO or something? So what's the story here?
So, I mean... Definitely that COBRA's crazy. I think you'll want to get off of that. The, the marketplace, the healthcare marketplace we have in the United States, which I think you looked into a little bit, it's just a place to get healthcare, which could definitely work.
That's Obamacare, right?
Yeah,
Obamacare. The marketplace is Obamacare, right?
Right. Okay. I've never used that myself, but I think it's definitely a thing people do and works. JustWorks. I mean, the thing with JustWorks is it does a lot of stuff that you're going to need to do, which you might not even be doing right now, which you're probably, you know, potentially breaking the law and things like that.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not selling oregano as weed. We're just getting started here. The ballpark. Okay.
It's stuff the government cares about more than that, actually.
That's probably true.
Basically, you know, the big thing is like your payroll. So you have money coming in. There's two of you. There's different ways to handle this, but since you're already, it sounds like, having some fair amount of money come in, you really are supposed to pay yourself a salary and not just take everything as owner draw. And once you do that, like, you have all the payroll taxes, you have Social Security, Medicare, blah, 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 all the stuff you have to be paying. So you're going to need some kind of payroll provider in general. I would think accountants can do it for you, or you could do it yourself, which is insane. Nope. I would not recommend you do it yourself.
I'm not an accountant.
So you could have your accountant do it, which I actually did do for a while, but it's not the best. They don't really love doing, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Accountants don't love anything. They're terrible at everything.
They don't really want to do it.
Can you send me an email once a year and remind me like to do stuff? And they're like, nah, you got to contact me and fill out my organizer that's 40 pages long. I'm like, what am I paying you for? Anyway.
I do now have an awesome accountant. So if anybody needs an accountant, I can recommend you an amazing one. But still, I don't have him do this stuff. Like, he does my taxes. That's what he does. And he's there for advice and other things. And that's it. Like, he doesn't do any of this other stuff. So, yeah. So that's a big one. Once you have some organization doing that for you, then, like, at least in the case of JustWorks, you could get healthcare through JustWorks. You are paying JustWorks every month for this opportunity of $99 an employee a month.
The opportunity to then pay for healthcare?
For them to do the payroll and all the other stuff they do.
Oh, for the entire PEO thing. Yeah, they're $99 an employee. Got it.
And it's actually,
now here's a question.
It's $59 an employee if you don't get healthcare through them. If you want healthcare through them, then it goes to $99 an employee.
That's how that gets you. Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Would it be that Steve and I are a group, or do we join some sort of like JustWorks conglomerate group?
Yeah, you're like in the JustWorks conglomerate group. So you're getting like the JustWorks pricing.
Okay, so it may not be prohibitively expensive.
No, like I think, you know, it is different in where you live and all this stuff. But I think ours is like for the family plan, like $1,100 a month, I want to say.
Hey, that's not like bad. That.
That's like on the lowest one. Like I just get the lowest one.
That is bad.
With a high deductible and whatever. You can get fancier ones. I don't have those. But they do offer them. So I mean, that's a path to the healthcare, depending on the, you know, comparing it to the marketplace and what you want to do there. But there's other stuff they do too. Like if you want that 401k, you could get around that right now if you want to do like SEP IRA, which you can do while you don't have any employees, while you're just owners. Once you have employees, mm-hmm. it doesn't work as well, which we can get into if you want. But 401k, if you want to go that route, there's then like contractors, workers' comp. So there's like these different things where like.
So that would generate all the 1099s
and stuff. Yeah, like it organizes all that for you, which again, like an accountant can do it. Maybe I guess you can do it yourself.
No, stop saying that. I'm not doing any of that myself.
I don't recommend anybody does anything themselves. Like it's so nice to just have JustWorks. You have a question about something, like you can go to them. They've always been very helpful. Man, so
I don't recommend anybody doing anything themselves. Amen. Right. If there's one thing I love, it's just not doing stuff.
Yeah,
just exactly. Love not and doing
for
stuff.
Somewhere between $59 and $99 an employee a month. It's like that's a write-off. You just write it off.
That's a write-off.
Somebody does all this stuff and they make sure the paperwork gets to you and everybody else who needs paperwork. And they deal with just all the overhead of even individual states. If you're remote and you have different states in the mix and like each state has their own weird stuff that needs to be paid as part of payroll and all that stuff. So
all right. So riddle me this. JustWorks is the same or different than Gusto, or which you might call it Gusto.
No, it's different. I haven't looked at Gusto in a while, but I believe they were just like a payroll
provider. Oh,
it looks like they've expanded a little bit to say they do HR stuff. Let's see. They might have payroll. They do more of this stuff now. It doesn't look like they do healthcare though. Oh, no, health benefits. Yeah, so I think it is the same as Gusto, I guess at this point. It didn't used to be the same as Gusto, but now it looks like Gusto has expanded to take on the rest, because it kind of like it makes sense, because everybody wants to outsource this part of their business, like they want the other stuff too, like so you just want to go to one spot and have the healthcare and all that stuff. I mean, the other nice thing is you're not here yet, but like as you get employees, like any trouble they have with like healthcare plans and things, like they go to JustWorks, not you, which is a huge thing. Like
we used to
We used to do this, like where we managed the health, like we went to the insurance provider, we had a healthcare plan for UserScape. If employees had problems, they basically had to come to us first and then go, we would try to send it up the flagpole to like the healthcare company, whatever. It was like a total mess. So now it's like, no, just go to JustWorks. And
can you imagine going to your boss and being like, hey, I got a tummy ache and my insurance isn't working. Like that's, nothing more embarrassing than that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to be in the middle of this stuff.
No, don't tell me about your tummy aches.
There's
supposed to be a barrier here. I'm not supposed to know this stuff.
That stuff even gets weird. It's like, I don't know. Am I supposed to know about this? Like, what am I supposed to know about? I don't know. You know, so I like having this all be separate. So yeah, and JustWorks definitely not the only one. So apparently Gusto does it. there are others.
ADP is the big dog, right? Don't they do it all? ADP and what's the other one? Insperity? So, no.
ADP didn't used to do it all. They used to just be payroll, which we used to have ADP for payroll after we moved off just the accountants. We went to ADP. And then we went to JustWorks because ADP did not do it all. But now I do think they have also got on the We Do It All bandwagon. So I'm pretty sure you can.
So this is the way that you know all of this is you've used every single one.
I started with just the accountant and getting my own insurance myself, like through the whole process of this evolution of these PEOs. And now we don't have to do any of this ourselves. And it's great. And so, yeah. So everybody has it much easier now, of course. I had to suffer. You all can live life easy street. But I guess now I haven't looked at anything else in years. Like I just pay JustWorks. I don't even think about it. Obviously, if you're just starting out now, yes, you should probably go to Gusto and go to JustWorks. You might even be able to play them off each other and like save a few bucks. Who knows? But they're all providing the same type of service where you're going to be able to just outsource a lot of this and not have the headache and make sure you're compliant with the law. Because then, like when you're not paying these like federal taxes correctly and stuff, then you get
they care about that a lot.
They get on you for that.
Yeah. If there's one thing that the government actually enforces, it's paying taxes. You don't want to mess around with that. There's even a line on there for like, I think on your income taxes for how much money you made via bribery and like how much money you made via stolen goods or something like that.
Yeah.
And my recommendation, my non-accountant recommendation is if you make a bunch of money off bribery, put it on there.
Yeah.
Just put it on there, pay your taxes and figure it out later. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Agree. You got to pay the taxes. And like the thing is people try to skirt the like personal taxes a little bit by like, if you just take it all your money you make as owner draws, then you're going to pay income tax, but you're going to not have to pay the corporate like the different like Social Security taxes and things like that, payroll taxes, which saves you some money. But they frown on that very much. So you really should pay yourself a salary. Anybody out there who's not paying themselves a salary, you should pay yourself a salary. You're supposed to pay yourself a salary commensurate with what you would be paid if you worked for somebody else. I don't go necessarily quite that far with it, but
I'm talking like 60%, 50%.
Yeah, but I do pay myself a reasonable salary. And so, because basically, here's the thing, like it maxes out at like 120 or 140,000 or something like that. So, like, if you get, you know, if obviously, once you're making more money, but like if you make $500,000 a year and you pay yourself 100,000, you're in the ballpark of like maxing out your Social Security and stuff. So that's what they care about. If your business is bringing in $500,000 a year and you pay yourself $10,000 a year in payroll, and then you withdraw $300,000 a year as owner draw, that they don't like to see. So
that's what I want to do. That's a little tip. That sounds awesome.
I know. My wife is big on that. She's like, screw them. Let's just, she hates paying the taxes. She hates it. I don't like going to jail. So trying to avoid jail time.
Yeah, that is something I'm optimizing for as well. I think although, that all of that only
we never
only
been arrested,
applies.
So I don't know. Maybe we should.
Yeah, that's true. And honestly, a quiet night in a jail cell.
sounds pretty good.
Yeah. As long as I'm by myself, that sounds kind of awesome.
That sounds a little vacation.
Yeah, all of this, of course, only applies, I think, to S&C Corps. Now we're getting real in the weeds because pass-through entities, you got to pay tax on everything. And so I think we need to elect S before we file next year.
Yeah, I don't know. C Corps are a whole different beast there. I don't know about the C Corps.
Yeah, we didn't incorporate a C, so we can't.
Yeah, you don't
want to
be a C. You want to be LLC filing as an S, I think, would be the play.
I think that's
normally
what we're gonna go for.
So that way, you want the protections of the corporation and the LLC, all that stuff.
Talk to a real accountant. Don't get your advice from podcasters.
Yes, you definitely need to
unless
always talk
they're
to
us.
Accountants.
Unless
I mean, you are an accountant,
us.
And I was an accounting major.
Well,
so
yeah,
we kind of know something about this. We know a little more about this than the other stuff.
We know, yes, we know a lot more than the average person, but a lot less than we should to be giving advice.
And everybody's particular arrangements are different. What you're situation is. So definitely get a good accountant. If you don't, you'll know if you have a good accountant. To me, this is like, if you feel like your accountant like isn't great, that means they're a bad accountant and you should go get a different.
Yeah, like, I need a different accountant.
I gotta hook you up with my guy. He's the best. He's unbelievable. I got hooked up with this guy. So like I went from the accountant to another accountant. They're both terrible. The first guy was actually pretty good, but he just wasn't like modernized and stuff. We outgrew him. And then the second guy was no good. And then I was just desperate. And I knew this guy way back in the day. There was this thing called Slice Host, which was like kind of one of the first like server hosting things. And they got really big and they got bought, whatever. And I knew this guy and I was like, dude, I need an accountant. And he was like, I have the greatest accountant in the world. So I was like, let me have him. So I got this accountant and he is the greatest accountant in the world. They're unbelievable. They're so good. I bought this guy like a super fancy bottle of scotch or something, sent it to him. I was like, this is like the greatest thing ever. Just like when you get in with a good accountant, it's just so much better. They just know what they're talking about. So,
all right. Two things. Anyway. You know that that accountant put that bottle of scotch gift on his taxes and he paid tax on it.
He's like, you gotta pay tax on that.
That counts as compensation. Mm-hmm. Second question, are they remote? Can they do the taxes of a person in Texas, for example?
They're in St. Louis, and I've never met them in person. So they work very well remotely. Yep, no problems.
And are they like proactive? Because the problem I have with accountants historically is you hear from them on April 14th, and they're like, hey, just wanted to let you know, like, where's your stuff? I'm like, we haven't talked. Right. We haven't talked in 364 days. Like,
yeah, no,
come they on, are- man.
Way more proactive than that. They're always on us in like January to like start getting our stuff together. And then usually before that, like in November, they'll at least reach out if there's anything big or weird on the year that we might need to adjust for before the end of the year and things like that. Or just, you know, to sketch out the year where it stands now and if there's going to be a huge tax bill and if we want to spend some money ahead of time or things like that. So yeah, for the most part, they're really good about that. And I imagine like I've always been pretty hands off with them other than that they, you know, we're always on time with everything and they're always well ahead of schedule getting our stuff. Definitely not like the April 14th stuff. But, you know, I've also reached out to them many times like, hey, question, business thing, contract, whatever.
And they actually really help. Good.
They actually help. Yeah,
God, that's crazy. All right. We got to talk
these people up with like I must have sent them at least 10 or more companies over the years. And as far as I know, everybody still is with them. Laracast uses them. Titan uses them.
Oh, no way.
So a lot of people use them in our circles. Yeah. So, and they've been happy with them as far as I know. Still
he should
them,
be sending
so.
You a bottle of scotch. I don't know why. Trust I don't know me. Why you're sending him stuff.
When he sends me these five-figure tax bills, I'm like, huh. Like, I probably sent you hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. I mean, he is... Whatever they actually do, he hooks me up in some different ways. But yes, like I do agree, they're kind of old school. Not you know they're not thinking on the modern internet. Let's have a referral program sort of thing. But and whatever, I just want them to stay in business and be wealthy and keep doing what they're doing because I don't want to have to find a new accountant. So
no, that's compensation enough. Yeah. All right, well, I'll get that name from you.
Yep. So I don't know. All right. So yeah, you guys got to figure that out. Don't
oh, what I ended
long.
Up doing. So I haven't, you know, I have till the end of April. There is a podcast called Startup to Last, kind of the same as every other bootstrap podcast. It's Rick and Tyler. And I've listened to that one for many years. Tyler works as the founder of Less Annoying CRM. And Rick, his co-host, is the founder of Leg Up Health, which is like, it's hard to explain, I think. They serve as like insurance agents or brokers or independent somethings. Mm-hmm. And one of like his co-founder just moved to Texas. And so he's licensed in Texas. Mm. And so I reached out to him and was like, hey, is this the kind of thing you do? And it's exactly the kind of thing that they do. And so I talked to this guy for like an hour and he, you know, walked me through all the available plans and stuff. And apparently, if you are an individual and you go through the marketplace, there are tax incentives or credits available,
okay.
But unlike other tax credits, they come off of your health insurance premiums up front. Okay. And so you put in like your number of dependents, and then estimated income, and it calculates like, here's what your credits are. We'll apply that to this list of premiums that you're looking at now.
Mm.
And then if you lie, it all gets trued up on your tax return.
Right.
And so that, I think what I'm told is that is what Obama and his, you know, his agency built is the marketplace. It's the coordination between the individual and the company and the tax, like the IRS. That's okay. Like what the marketplace means. Right. And so we looked at several plans, and I think we're going to be able to hit $1,000, maybe $1,215 with these credits. And so
these days, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, unless you're European and you get it for free and like,
right.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, that's not helpful to me. I don't thank you for telling me, but that's not helpful. So we'll see. I'll talk to him again this week, and then I will look at JustWorks, and we'll see where it lands. But the good news is we'll end up with something, and it won't be $3,700 a month.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I don't remember how Cobra works. If you could switch plans, I kind of don't think so, right? You're like locked into the company's plan, whatever they have. Yeah, so then you just end up paying like the raw cost, and
exactly. Yeah.
They got that and VC money they're trying to blow through, so they're like, let's get the Cadillac health plan.
Yes. Yep. And apparently these health insurance companies kind of gouge the companies, like the the Planet Scales of the world. And so then when you are let go, you get the like price gouged price as an individual. So the whole thing is bad news, but I think we're on the straight and narrow. So
good.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Buttondown. That's buttondown.email, email software for nerds like you. Whether you're starting a SaaS, growing your agency, or maybe building out a screencasting empire, you know you should be collecting email addresses. Email addresses of friends, internet randos, potential users, and anyone who you think might be interested in what you can tell them down the line. There are hundreds of email marketing software services out there that all pretty much offer the same thing. Collect and clean addresses, send out broadcasts or drip campaigns, get analytics so you can see what's resonating and what's not. Buttondown makes it really easy for you to integrate instead of having to spend all day figuring out CAPTCHAs and iframes. You can hook up your site or app to Buttondown with just a form endpoint or simple REST call. Write emails in Markdown instead of futzing around in bloated 2008 era WYSIWYG editors, and then get on with your actual work you're supposed to do. New customers can save 50% off their first year with Buttondown using the coupon code DIETCOKE, all one word. And if you email support, we'll give white glove migration to your existing subscribers and archives for free. Thank you so much to Buttondown. That's an incredible offer. Make sure you check them out to get 50% off your first year using the coupon code DIETCOKE. And also make sure to take advantage of that white glove migration service. Thanks again to Buttondown for sponsoring Mostly Technical. All right. Everyone updates their apps too fast, you have on here. What is this? Give me something. All
right. Here's the thing. I'm about to say some stuff. And I know that like I'm mostly in the wrong.
I love that. That's the best.
But but I want you to defend me and back me up anyway. So I know I'm mostly in the wrong. But it's still kind of annoying. Everybody updates their apps too fast. Okay. So like Laravel 11 comes out and like that day, people are like, hey, Aaron, all these packages that you wrote when you had a lot more time, they're not up to date with Laravel 11. And I'm like, it just released literally this morning. And I'm getting DMs. Yeah. It's like, hey, do you think you can update this? I'm like, I just lost my job. I don't know what I'm doing here. So here's the thing. Updating to Laravel 11 on the day of, that's great. I love that for our community that we're like Johnny on the spot. That's awesome. As a package maintainer who does it as a hobby and doesn't really have that much time anymore, God, you guys got to give me like just a second. Now, here's the bad news. Laravel 11 was released a few weeks ago now, and I still haven't updated my packages. So I don't have a lot of ground to stand on here, but still everybody updates everything too fast. Like what, how are you updating your production applications in a day? This makes no sense to me.
I have so many thoughts and questions on this. This is such a great
topic. Tell me, it's crazy. You got to wait for the 0.1 or the 0.01 release. Cause you know, you don't want to,
Feels like, and I'm sure there's exceptions out there. Part of me feels like, these people on the day one upgrades, these are not real applications. These are people with little side projects. These are not people with thousands of users who are like day one of the release. I'm looking to get the new version of Laravel, the new packages that some guy in the middle of the night, because he's got a day job, just slapped together some fixes. I'm not trying to ship that out to production. Like, I don't know why we would do that.
No, you got to let it bake. You got to let it bake.
We're getting a little too far behind on our Laravel. So like Cult Spa has been converted onto Laravel in this sort of crazy way. We're still like on 8 or something crazy. So like that's
See,
one of my projects is to get to 11
That's what
here.
I'm talking
for,
about. Yeah.
But still, I'm not trying to do it day one for sure. So part of me is like that's like one of the negatives of the open source maintainer, right? Is it's like, oh, like people are on you. And it's like, are these even people who are like really right. shipping this, their big yeah. apps with lots of users? Are they really shipping Laravel 11 the first day? Maybe a couple of really hardcore people are, but like can't be the majority, I wouldn't think, or
can't be.
Even any large percentage. So yeah.
But they're very nice, wonderful, yeah, lovely people. Nice. And if that's you, listener, I am grateful for you. But yes, carry on.
I am amazed that you're able to pull it off. I cannot pull it off for sure. Yeah, you know, I don't know what is your, I mean, we could flip the script, right? Like, hey, it's open source. It's out there. It's probably, yeah. I mean, your packages aren't that crazy. Like,
they're not. They're very
I mean,
good.
I don't know. Like, how much work could there be to upgrade it to Laravel 11? It's not like Laravel 11, like, changed
a tiny amount, yeah,
all of Eloquent or whatever, and everything's anything. Totally different. Like, I mean, yeah. It can't be that much work. Like,
yeah, this again is a strike against. It's there. A strike against me because yeah, it's very little,
sides,
very
though.
Little work, and I should just do it. And
it's
so,
both sides.
But I still want to complain.
The kind
some
of person
some people have, and I haven't merged it because I'm like, oh, I just can't, okay. I gotta address this later.
That's a little more on you. Maybe
it's all on me.
If they've submitted a pull request and you merge it, that's a little more on you. But like,
okay.
If you're the kind of person who's complaining, but you're also shipping Laravel 11 to your production app on day one, then I think you can make the half an hour to like submit the pull request and help Aaron out. Now, if it's in your court now and you just haven't merged it, that's okay. That's a little more on you. Like you got to maybe carve out a little time. This is part of your media empire.
It really is
part of your brand out there. And how many of these do you have?
Oh, I probably have that people actually use. I've probably got 5 or 6 packages.
Okay.
Sidecar being the biggest, then probably AirDrop, and then a bunch of random little stuff.
Did, I thought I saw this, but I could be wrong. Didn't Laravel Shift have a thing for packages too? Or
yeah,
am I making
he'll
that
open,
up?
He'll open PRs against okay. packages. And he did. I think he did for Sidecar and AirDrop, but I think Sidecar I've already updated to 11, and AirDrop I've maybe updated to 11 too, or 11 as well. And those PRs are somewhat helpful. They're automated, and so they miss or do some weird stuff. But it gives me a starting point for
gets
sure.
You in the ballpark of
yeah, exactly.
some of the low hanging fruit and things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, so. I know that I'm the bad guy here, but it's like, guys, it's day one. Now I don't, you know, that we should have recorded this on day one and it would have hit a lot harder. now that it's like day 15 since it's been released, yeah. I kind of look like an idiot here, but still, imagine it's day one. Imagine it's day one and people have already upgraded and you're like, I haven't done it yet. It's crazy.
Does Laravel need a release every year at this point? That's
oh,
an interesting question.
Whoa. You're going broad.
Software as it ages, not a new HelpSpot release every year. Of like, I mean, we release updates, but usually every month-ish. But like, there's not a huge new release with tons of new features every year. Like,
are you suggesting that Laravel maybe do a release once and then call it finished software? We could do. We could have like a manifesto, like at like once.com or something.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
I don't know. I think it's nice. No, it nice. Here's the answer. No, the answer is no. They don't need a release every year, but the release, and they've already switched from 6 months. Do you remember when it was 6 months, major version every 6 months?
That was crazy.
We were flying, man.
Things were happening.
I think it's just a nice escape hatch for them to do like 2 breaking changes that are like 6 layers deep in the framework and nobody even knows they're breaking changes. But, you know, some person is going to be like, oh, this is technically a breaking change. The upgrade times are like, if you look at the guide, they're like estimated upgrade time, 15 minutes.
Right.
This is crazy. How is this so good?
I actually think even bigger than that, the actual biggest reason is marketing. Like, this is part of what's helped keep Laravel on top is like,
that's true.
Just constant stuff to talk about, right? It's like the conferences need stuff to talk about, the blogs need stuff to talk about. It's like Laravel 11, it's a big release. Laravel 12, it's a big release.
People need to feel like it's moving forward, even if even if like the improvements needed at this point are incremental, it still feels like, oh, we're still moving forward. Major versions.
It just gives you a chance to talk about. I mean, they add stuff during the year too. And it's like, it just gives you a chance to talk about all that stuff where like people are actually paying attention because it's just too hard to pay attention all year long to every release. Even though you have Laravel News out there, obviously doing its best to keep people updated and everybody else.
And this show, which doesn't talk about Laravel, but pretends to, like, we're occasionally keeping you updated.
We recycle. We spent like a whole episode on Recycle.
Oh, that was a great one. That was a great one.
Episode. I love Recycle.
I think it was the First versus Soul or Soul versus Only
Did that. Yeah, we've had
some stuff. You're telling me that you think part of the major version updates is marketing, and you're suggesting that Taylor Otwell might be good at marketing. That's crazy. It's wild to hear that. I can't believe that. I wonder if that has contributed to his success at all.
Maybe just a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
The genius. He probably rode off that Lambo. That's how smart
I hope he
is.
He did.
Wrote off a Lambo as marketing.
You get a license plate that says facade, which makes it a business expense, which makes it a write off.
So good.
Can you imagine if Taylor Otwell went to jail for tax fraud because he wrote off his Lambo?
It goes out in a blaze of glory, his Lambo.
Yeah.
That'd be hysterical.
That would definitely be. Don't go to jail, Taylor. But that would be a major storyline. That would be good content. So consider it, Taylor.
He's pretty conservative financially in some ways. Obviously owns a Lambo, but he still at heart is kind of conservative. So I kind of doubt he wrote it off. But I like internally have this story where I believe he wrote it off. Like that's what I tell myself, and that's a more fun story to me that he wrote it off.
Yeah, he's way too responsible to do that. But yeah. Sure.
All right. I need to update on the office. You got a butcher block desk. You got a walking desk. Behind you, we see it's looking beautiful. So I need the whole thing, especially the walking desk. Right. But I want to hear the whole. You did a lot of stuff since last we talked. So give us
did a lot of stuff. I'll tell you what. I've had a lot of good ideas. You know, some people would say
mostly good ideas.
Mostly, yeah. Thank you. Mostly good ideas. This may be one of my best ideas. Ooh. This whole apartment scheme. Is amazing. We love a scheme, and this is one of my best schemes ever. Yeah. So, the state of the union over here is, I'm in the studio right now, which is would traditionally be called the bedroom of the apartment, because one would most often put a bed in here and not
got a closet
studio. Yeah, not a fake wall. So I'm in the studio / bedroom in here. This is where I have my full-on like filming gear and lights, camera, microphone, beautiful backdrop, lights everywhere. And so it's perfect in here. Like everything looks great. I still have a few tweaks for like settings and stuff, but super duper happy. In the living room right out there, I've got a balcony that overlooks the pool, like the interior courtyard.
Yep.
And I now have, so like I got this desk that I'm working on here. I got this as a gift from Autonomous. Thank you, Autonomous. And so I have my old desk, a gift. Yeah. God
damn.
Unless the IRS is listening, in which case I don't know where this desk came from.
I gotta spend another second. We're not just go past that. So, I mean, I get that. That's awesome. And I just want to say that this is one of these areas where, like, I've always wanted. This is like physical world products. It's like, I can't gift somebody help desk software. Like, it's not a gift.
It's not
Nobody welcomes it. They're not like, oh, great. Let me spend 20 hours setting this up and getting people.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody wants it as a gift. But, like, you can just send somebody a desk and they're excited and they talk about it on their vlog and they do all this stuff. Like, it's the physical world where you can send things. It's so glorious. Anyway, that's
It's pretty great. You know, I don't know if you want to get into the furniture world, but a help desk is kind of a great idea. I don't know what the angle is there, but it's like
we send people actual desks.
I'm telling you, it's good branding. It's funny. This is your help desk.
A pretty good idea, actually.
I just came up with that.
Think about this a little more.
Think about where this
is going. Maybe it's just a little desk.
Like there you
get go. A little wooden desk, and we just send that out, and it's kind of cool. Yep. Just a little tchotchke.
Mm-hmm. Here's your help desk.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's
pretty good.
All right.
I'll send you an invoice. All right. So, you know, I've got the free desk out here. And then in the living room, I have my old desk. And I'm like, this, you know, it's a standing desk, so it's like it's a good desk, but the tabletop is all bowed down from years of use. And I'm like, I want to kind of have this space be multifunctional. And so I got some casters, some like, you know, workshop wheels to put on the desk. So now I can just roll the desk anywhere, right? I
love things that roll.
So I'm chasing the sun around the room. I'm living the dream. Yep. And I'm like, this desktop is kind of, one, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit warped. But two, it's kind of like a little janky. It's kind of ugly. And so,
not giving you vibes you want.
No, the vibes are all wrong. And so I still had an IKEA countertop because I thought I was going to make shelves out of it. But I made that first shelf and was like, oh, this looks goofy. Yeah. So I had a full second countertop that I was going to use. And they're like, I don't know, $150, but extremely heavy. And I didn't want to drive to Frisco to return it. and so I thought, wait, I could use this as a desktop. So I took the old desktop off, put that on my standing legs. And now I've got like a, you know, 7 foot long countertop on wheels that I can just roll around. The right side of it is dedicated to like, basically makeshift like meetings. You know, I've got my laptop and my camera and my other microphone out there just if I'm taking a casual meeting. The whole left side is dedicated to like notes and books and research and room to draw stuff. It's like this is perfect. It's so great. Yeah. And then I've got a walking treadmill. And so I can just like roll the desk over the treadmill and just, you know, start walking and get to work. And I'm looking out the window, the door's open. I'm drinking a non-diet Coke soda. It's like, yeah, might as well. I'm living the dream. It's great. I love it so much.
I said, that's why when you tweeted the picture, I was like, you're Casey Neistat, baby. You're Casey Neistat of the Laravel world and the YouTube world. It's just like, I love that energy of like a space dedicated to your work that's got like tchotchkes and things on the wall and everything has its place and things on wheels and top down cameras and like that whole vibe is so good. Like, I haven't been able to get myself all the way there yet. Now, this is interesting. What you just said unlocked it for me because I've thought about the walking treadmill base thing many times. And I'm like, so many times I'm like writing email or stupid shit that I could like be doing that while I'm getting in some steps. Why not?
Yep.
But it's like, it's in your way. Then when I want to sit, it's like, now I got to move this big, heavy treadmill base thing. And like, I know I'm just never going to do that. I'm going to move it out of the way once. I'm just going to sit. I'm never going to bring it back. But if you leave the treadmill base where it is, and then you move the desk.
Move the actual desk. Yeah. You got to reverse it, man.
Do it.
Yep. That's you got to reverse it. It's great.
I love this idea. That is the key. And I actually have a perfect spot over on the side here where like, there's a lot of space where I could do it. I wonder if I can edit this desk. Like, I have this IKEA desk. I don't know. I guess I could probably find a way to attach some wheels to it.
I'm telling you, man, the desk on wheels was a huge, was a huge unlock for me. I've replaced my wheels on my office chair to be like these rollerblade wheels so that I can just like, I can fly.
Right.
But I never thought about putting a desk on wheels until I looked down and saw that it had those little screw-in leveling feet. Yep. So, like, if your floor is wonky, you can level your desk. I can just swap them.
Shit. I'm sure this
And so, I unscrewed one. Yeah. I unscrewed one of those leveling feet, took it to Home Depot, and they've got the thing on the wall where it's like, what size screw and what thread, you know, is it? And so, I found the thread pattern and the size of the screw, and then I went online and ordered them off Amazon. And they just fit, just screwed right in. It's great.
It's crazy.
I'm living the dream.
So interesting because I have like this night. So my office is directly across the street from Vassar College.
Cool.
And so I can look over at the college and stuff. But like where my desk is, I don't necessarily have like the best view. And sometimes the light's in weird spots. So like if I was on wheels, I could be moving around.
No problem. Treadmill
base, I could put it on top of that.
Yep.
Man. Yep. You're just out there inventing shit.
So that's out there. In here, the desktop is not IKEA countertop. It is IKEA butcher block island.
Okay.
So IKEA countertop is, you know, whatever, countertop depth, whatever that is, 32, 36 inches, whatever. So it's not super deep for a desk, right? But it's great for a mobile desk, hang space, but for an actual desk, it's a little shallow.
Right.
So I got an IKEA kitchen island, which is like super deep. I mean, we're talking 4 feet or more. It was, however, too long. And so I zipped 18 inches off of the side. Nice. But that's what I use. That's what I put on top of the autonomous legs in the studio, because I've got a whole like white and wood thing going on in here. Mm-hmm. And so now everything matches. So we're all IKEA.
I do love IKEA.
Fitted out this whole space.
I love IKEA. It's such a great place. One thing I don't like their chairs, like office chairs too much. Although it's been a long time since I looked them. But everything else IKEA. Yeah, everything in my office is IKEA. I love IKEA. It's like you go there, you get stuff. It's great. I did notice you didn't attach your monitor to the desk. Wow. Now, why is that?
It's crazy. It's crazy, right? Here's the thought. So, you know, I've got this big desk, and then behind the desk, I've got like basically a little buffet table. It's one of the old shelves that used to be behind here until I decided no shelves. So I bought these janky legs, and now I've got just like a little, you know, 10-inch table that runs along the wall behind my desk. So my monitor and my camera and my like secondary monitor, my confidence monitor, are all attached to that buffet table instead of this desk. The reason I didn't attach the camera to the desk is because when I type, the camera wobbles,
it's shaking,
and it looks bad. It just looks really bad. And so that was always going to be back there. But then attaching the monitor back there gives me the ability to swing the monitor all the way to the side and then lower the camera and do kind of like a talking head with, like, you know, 3/4 of the desk in the shot.
Want to show some stuff.
Exactly. So if I want to show some stuff or not be like screencasting and doing more of the like sitting at my desk vlogging kind of thing, I have that ability with this setup. So that does preclude me from standing in here, which I'm fine with. I don't really care. Yeah.
Interesting. And how do you secure this buffet table? Because that sounds like a lot of heavy stuff. Is it attached to the wall?
A lot of heavy stuff. Yeah, a lot of heavy stuff leaning outwards.
Or it's just been okay so far.
It's fine so far, but I will confess, as long as my apartment manager isn't listening, I did attach that to the wall.
Okay.
So like I built an entire wall out of 2x4s. It doesn't touch the wall at all, but this little buffet table, it's like, I gotta screw that to the wall. So it's screwed into the wall. Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. People put stuff on their walls. It's, you know.
It's fine. I did the don't put a nail or screw in the wall on that, kind of as a bit, so that I can...
Right.
It's going to make good YouTube content. But the guy, the leasing agent, was like, dude, I don't care if you hang a TV. Like, you can do whatever you want as long as you fix it before you move out. It's like, I guess that makes sense. People hang TVs, don't they?
Right.
I still think of all the crazy stuff that I've done, I still think I'm probably in the top 2% of good tenants in this complex. I've got to be. I'm walking down the hall and I'm smelling weed. People's dogs are throwing up in the hallway and they don't clean it up. And I'm like, I'm an insane person, but I'm the best tenant this place has ever seen. It's crazy.
I thought this place was high up, but now I'm taking this place down a notch. If there's
puking dogs
in the hallway, is maybe
they got freaking kibble puked all over the hallway, somebody just walked off. I'm like, we're living in a society here. So,
I don't like that.
Don't like that one bit.
But yeah, nowadays to hang a TV, right? Like a big one of these big 65-inch, 75-inch TVs, I'm sure people are still putting even in apartments and stuff. Like, I mean, the thing's got 10 screws and a big plate, and like, it's not like one nail. It's a huge thing with big holes. So
yeah, you're putting lag bolts into the wall. Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine with your one hole. And you're not you live in there 40 hours a week, if that. So like, you're not even messing up the carpet. They're not even going to have to replace the carpet or anything. They're going
to
be like,
no, they're not going to have to do anything. It's so great. Yeah.
You're not making a mess of the fridge. Like, nothing spilled in there from the kids.
Nope. Not a thing. Yeah. So I still think I'm a model tenant.
I think you are so far. We'll see. You never know.
We'll see. I may get kicked out, but that's good plot for the content anyway. So we'll see.
All right, we got one more thing on the formal list that you put on here. Give it to us.
All right, so here's the deal. I got a good life, right? Great life. Great life. You know, loving family, lots of great kids. I will say, there are two people that I look at and I'm like, I don't really want to trade places with anyone, but I kind of want to trade places with with you right now. First one.
Okay.
First one. Person I want to be is my 2-year-old daughter at about 7:30 p.m. So okay. I put the kids to bed. I put the kids to bed every night. They're like, it's kind of like convincing. You know, I'm doing my best negotiations in there. I'm putting socks on hands and clipping toenails. And I'm like, okay, there's literally nothing else you can ask me to do. It's time to go to bed. I'm going to leave now. I walk out, you know, put them to bed at 7. Walk out, 7:30, check the monitor. This is every night. This is every single night. 7:30, check the monitor. My 2-year-old daughter is laying amongst, gotta be 30 stuffed animals, right? Stuffed animals everywhere. She's carved out a little hole in the middle, and she's in this little hole of stuffed animals everywhere. She's laying down. She's talking. She's playing. She looks so happy and so comfortable and cozy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the end of the day. She doesn't have anywhere to go. She's just playing. She's talking to her brother on the other side of the room. She's got her hands behind her head with her feet crossed over, and she's in her long sleeve pajamas. And it's like, I don't think I've ever seen someone be so comfortable and cozy so and happy without a care in the world. She'll stay up for an hour and a half, just like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this, you are living the dream. You're so relaxed. This is, if I had $10 million, I would be as relaxed as her. But she's like, I'm just, you know, I'm in my crib surrounded by all these stuffed animals and I got nothing to do, so I'm going to play. Looks amazing.
And you know what's so unfortunate is then you don't even remember those years. Like, you may have been like that at one point. You don't remember. It doesn't help you now. You're not like, oh, no, I was so relaxed. You don't remember anything. Like, you
know, I don't remember anything. So she's got it. She's got it as good as she'll ever have it. She won't remember.
No.
Crazy.
We were just going through this. I was looking at some photos for like kids' yearbook stuff, whatever. And I'm looking back at this, like our trip to Europe, where we took this big trip to Europe. I've talked about on here before. And it's like the oldest, you know, he remembers it mostly. The middle one, kind of. Mostly he like didn't remember like being dragged around. The youngest barely remembers it at all. It's like, spent $1 zillion on this huge trip to Europe. Like, they don't remember it. And we were like, oh, they're old enough now. They'll remember it. No, they don't remember it. They barely remember it. They remember like an impression of it, but like not the thing itself. And their takeaway is the exact opposite of the takeaway we wanted them to have, which is going, traveling's a pain in the butt. I just want to be home where it's, you know, nice and comfortable and fun. Like, it's like, that's why we took you around to expose you to all this stuff. And your takeaway is the opposite takeaway.
Yep.
Now, hopefully in the future, they might think about it differently, but
yeah, I feel like it probably, it left an impression on them, even if they don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I tell myself. So the second person,
2-year-old kid in their room. I'm with you on that. Yep. That's a good spot to be.
Got surrounded dolls, by levees, just living the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could go for
second
that.
Second right one. There's this guy that lives across the street from us. Okay. So I love my life. Wouldn't trade it for anything. This guy, I think he's married, maybe he has a girlfriend, something. There's a woman that lives there as well.
Okay.
But I don't know how he does it. This dude is watching TV 24/7. Like, the blinds in the front of his house, are up. Yeah. And so I'm up, you know, I'm dragging my tired, sorry, broken body out of bed at 7:30.
Yep.
Or like out to the kitchen at 7:30 to cook for the kids. And I walk out, dude's already got like game pre-golf on at 7:30 on a Saturday morning. He's just like,
Masters.
He's got this huge TV and he's got golf on. And I'm like, it's 7:30 on a Saturday. What are you doing? And then, you know, I'm cleaning up peanut butter off the underside of the table. And this guy's walking out at 9 o'clock with a cup of coffee and a dog. And he's like, all right, I guess I'll just cruise around for a little bit. Easter weekend, I swear he spent all day outside just like planting. He's just planting some flowers. He's our age. I'm like, what life of luxury are you leading? He's watching TV all day, every day. This guy's having friends over. He's just like, he walks out with the dog's leash around his neck. The dog's not on a leash. He's got his AirPods in and a cup of coffee. And he's just like looking around at stuff. I'm like, whenever you walk outside and you just look around at stuff, That is a life. That's a life of leisure.
Who has time for that?
That is he is a king. He might as well have a palace at Versailles. He's just walking around looking at stuff. So
yeah,
I don't want to be that guy, but that I kind of want to be that guy. That guy's on easy street, man.
There is. It's so funny. Like, the grass is greener on these things. And, like, obviously, like, people without kids might have feelings about, oh, I wish I had kids and all this stuff. But, like, it's just those moments. Like, this weekend for us, like, you know, obviously you're in the deep grind now of just, like, four kids and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But like, even just for us, where our kids are big. And it's, like, this weekend, our oldest went to see two colleges that he was accepted to. So my wife took him all weekend. They drove, like, 700 miles around the Northeast to these colleges. I'm home. Everybody's sick. Where the the middle kids got karate, like, you know, and it was still, you know, we're trying to get everybody fed and all stuff. And it was like the younger one wants to have a friend over, but we're sick, so we're not gonna have a friend over. Like, the whole thing, and it was still even quasi relaxing by our standards ultimately. But it was just like there's just like nonstop action. There's just never a dull moment of like somebody needs something, somebody wants something. You got to be somewhere. The calendar's got 40 things on it. And yeah, when you look at that guy across the street, you're like, huh, that guy, he could have slept till noon. He could have done whatever he wanted. Yeah. And then he's going to watch golf. He's probably got a DVR where he DVRs golf. And he's like still like 10 years back there. And he's like, I'm just going to DVR this golf here. And I'm going to watch it, skip the commercials when I get home. And like
Last night or the night before, I was doing something. And I just feel like such a creeper. I was looking across the street. His blinds are up in the front. His blinds are up in the back. So I see him and his his wife in the backyard gardening, and a pizza is delivered to his front porch. And I'm like, this son of a he's having pizza. He's chilling all weekend. And I thought, I wonder, he's in the backyard. I bet I could sneak over there and grab the pizza before he knows it's here.
Steal the pizza and drop two kids off. Like, just like take these two kids for
a
couple hours.
So yeah. I'm telling my wife about, you know, wanting to be Amelia and this guy across the street. And she says, you know, whenever I'm like watching TV and someone on TV is watching TV, I think, man, it must be good to be them. That looks like so much fun. I'm like, so wait, you're doing the thing that the person on TV is doing. She's like, I know, but they just look so much happier. Look so much cozier.
I have this whole theory that, like, I think even still your age group would probably fit this of like the shows that we had as kids where it was like all these sitcoms and like Seinfeld aside, like they were all like happy and everything ended happy and everybody got what they wanted and all the families were happy and like all this stuff like just did us all like such a disservice of like setting these expectations for what your family's supposed to be, what your life is supposed to be. And it's like, not everything doesn't get solved instantly at the end of the episode, like in your real life.
There's
like,
there's no nice, neat wrap up at the end.
Yeah. What's your theory about this? This is the thing that freaks me out that you brought up here. I'm not a fan of the TV that faces out the window in a direction Mm-mm. where a lot of people will see it. Like,
no,
I don't like that vibe.
Hate that. Not a fan of being able to see through the entire house either. That weirds me out a little bit. Having the TV that faces out and then also keeping your blinds up so everybody can see what you're watching all the time.
Yeah, it's like people over my shoulder watching. But then that's how carefree this guy is, right? He's so carefree. It's like, whatever. You want to look over my shoulder, watch some golf, go for it. I don't care.
If you want to look over your shoulder and be jealous, that you know, yeah, that's great. But yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, that's not for me either.
I do like having the big windows that look out, though. Yes. Like in the place we're renting, we've got this big bay window that looks out into this guy's living room. But it's like, oh, it's so nice. Keep these windows open.
Wait a minute. So what's the update on the second house? Under construction.
The second house, but not the apartment. So I'm trying to remember all the properties under management. Yeah, okay. So yeah, that makes sense.
One you're going to move into at some point, presumably.
At some point. It is almost done, which it's been almost done for forever. But we now have cabinets and we have countertops. All the walls are closed. The bathroom tile is not done. And painting is not done. So they still have a good portion to go. Our lease at this rent house was up on May 1st, which I thought, you know, when I started this project, I thought, that's an incredible amount of time. What a hilarious amount of lead time we've given ourselves. you know, now it's April 15th and it's not done yet. So we extended our lease by 1 month, but we did not tell our contractor. So right, yeah. As far as our contractor knows, we're still drop dead on May 1st. Yeah, because the dude told me it would be done in January. It's free. Come on, man.
Did you redo the kitchen too?
Yeah, kitchen. Yeah.
While you're in there.
Kitchen and kitchen, yeah. Master bath and yeah.
How many bedrooms?
It is 5 bedrooms.
So you got the full coverage.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, actually full coverage. Yeah.
Yep. And it has an upstairs. So we're going to have to be going up and down the stairs.
It's annoying with the kids because they're little and you'll be up and down the stairs all the time. But it is nice to have the separation. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You'll have to come see it when you come to Lyricon.
That's what I'm talking about. I like it. I will be there. That's hopefully right. It's done by then. We'll see. We'll see if it's ready.
If it's not done by then, I am bankrupt.
You'll be coming to live with me. You'll be up here living in New York for...
I'll be walking across the street and telling that guy I'm moving in. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, man. Anything else we need to cover?
Just one follow-up that I want to cover. Lost in the weeds of all just a huge amount of email that we get mostly technical. I don't know. You'll have to tell us later.
Mostly technical
was a gift card to Chick-fil-A from Josh Hurt. And you know what? I love Chick-fil-A. I go to Chick-fil-A all the time.
Worked out.
So what delicious? A nice guy. Have what a nice gesture. I haven't used it yet, but I did add it to my CF mobile app. I'm ready to go. So thank you so much for that. That's very unnecessary and very, very kind.
And we are caught up on follow-up. I've emailed everybody back. And we do have a couple queued up to discuss still that we will try to hit next time here. So yes, that was awesome. People have been so nice. People are so nice to you. It's like, it's great.
People are so nice to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You bring up, you put out the good vibes and the good vibes come back.
I like to think so.
Yeah, I think that's true. So, and now everybody gets to see you up on your feet, which I love.
That's right.
You're out there. Starting anyway. We're getting there. Things are happening.
We're getting there. It's going to work. We're getting there. It's not, all signs point to yes.
Yeah, I love it. All right, man. Well, this has been a good one. Everybody, thanks for joining us. You can check us out, mostlytechnical.com, mostlytechnicalpod on Twitter, and mostlytechnicalpodcast@gmail.com. So if you have any feedback, hit us up there. Thanks to the sponsors. And we will see you next week if all goes to plan. Thanks a lot.